Open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15. I believe this is a familiar passage of Scripture for most of us. It's the account of the Canaanite woman. Let's read together, beginning with verse 21. It says, "Then Jesus went thence, and he departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said truthfully, Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Now, one of the first things we see in this passage of Scripture is God's sovereignty, God's sovereign hand. In verse 21, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ had departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And at the same time, this Canaanite woman, she came out of the same coast. And she cried unto the Lord, saying, Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Men would say, well, she just hit it just right there. She come out just at the right time. But there's no question about this. God's path of those who preach the gospel, those who hear the gospel, he orders and directs all things. The Lord Jesus Christ and this Canaanite woman's path have to cross. Sovereign hand in this. John 6, I'll not have you turn there, but John 6, 37, let me just read it to you. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I lose nothing. I'll not lose one, but I'll raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I'll raise him up at the last day." She comes to him. She comes to him. But it is he. He's drawn her to himself. The Scriptures declare this: "It shall come to pass before they call, before it's even on the tip of the, before they call, I'll answer. And while they are yet speaking, I'll hear them." And it's also clear that she knew something of Christ. She knew something of him. This woman had a daughter who was very sick, very ill, grievously vexed with the devil. And she cries out in great distress, and she says, O Lord, thou son of David. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is the son of David. He's God in human flesh. God and man in one person. He's Emmanuel, God with us. She comes to Christ. I would have to imagine that while our Lord walked this earth, can you imagine the thousands? A huge number of people that just walked right by, walked right past. that knew him only as a man named Jesus. They knew him only as the carpenter's son, or maybe they knew him as the son of Joseph and Mary. They knew him only as a man, just a fellow that lived down the street. He's the Son of God. He is God. He's God in human flesh. And this has to be revealed. And it's going to be revealed to this one lost sheep, this Canaanite woman. She said, "O Lord, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And she comes to him by faith, asking by faith and revealing her faith in his power and dominion over all things. Wonder how many people she had been to. Wonder how many hoping that her daughter would be healed. But she comes to him knowing that only he can accomplish this. He has all power to accomplish, to heal her daughter. All things, all people, all diseases, all under his control. Knowing the Lord, being Lord of all, could heal her daughter, and that he could save his daughter if he was pleased to do so. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. And she comes to him for mercy. Back in our text, look at verse 23. But he answered her, not a word. Not a word. Here we see faith tested. Her faith would be tested. And it would appear that for a while, she stopped asking him. And she went to the disciples. Look at the rest of verse 23. The disciples came and besought him on her behalf and said, "Send her away. Send her away, for she crieth after us." You know, we must be taught continually to wait on the Lord. To wait on him. You know, we want everything right now, don't we? This nation, we don't want to wait on one thing. I think Isaac ordered a pair of cleats off of Amazon Wednesday night, and they were there Friday morning. You know, we don't wait on anything. The psalmist wrote this. He said, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart." And in case you didn't get it the first time around, wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait on him. But we see she continued to cry after him. I was thinking about, me and Mike were talking there, like Jacob of old. Remember Jacob? He said, "I won't let you go. I won't let you go till you bless me." Or like that blind beggar over in Luke chapter 18. He said, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And the people around him, they were trying to hold him down a little bit. Keep quiet here. And we read that he cried out the louder. That's a man in need, isn't it? That's a man in desperate need. He cried out the louder, and the people rebuked him. They said, "Hold your peace. Be quiet." But he cried out even louder, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." Simon Peter. Remember Simon Peter? Our Lord said, "Will you go away? Will you go away?" He said, "Lord, whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Whom shall we go?" And God's word declares this: "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Look at verse 24. He answered his disciples, and he says, "I am not sent. I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of Israel." He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Not sent, but the lost sheep of it. He came to save his church, his elect. Our Savior and our Redeemer. He made full satisfaction and atonement for the sins of His elect. He came to obtain eternal redemption, to save His sheep. In Adam, we're lost, we're straying, and we could never recover. We could never recover ourselves. But He came. The Lord Jesus Christ came in the fullness of time. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Verse 25. She came and worshiped Him. Job said this. Job said, though he slay me, I'll trust Him. I will trust Him. Consider her condition. Consider our condition. She could do nothing for herself. She couldn't help herself. No man could help her. No man could make her daughter whole. Only Christ. Only Christ can do that. Only Christ can save. Christ can save, and Christ alone. No hope. No hope apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. No hope apart from His mercy. No hope apart from His grace. No hope apart from His love. Turn over to Acts 27. This woman's hopeless. Look at the Acts 27. Here we read of this perilous voyage of Paul on his way to Rome. And look at verse 20, beginning of verse 20 of Acts 27. It says here, when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. No hope. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and he said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and have gained this harm and loss. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer." Be of good cheer. We have no hope. How can we be of good cheer? Be of good cheer. "For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." That can only be Christ, can't it? "Whose I am and whose I serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer.'" I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. He said, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. But then he said, "Be of good cheer. I believe God. This woman who had heard of Christ, this woman who had been, whether she realized it or not, had been brought to Christ, this woman that cried out for mercy, she believed God and she came to Him and she worshiped Him. Listen to her cry. Listen to her petition. Three words. Look back in our text, Matthew 15. Look at verse 25. "Then came she and worshipped Him, saying, 'Lord, help me. Help me.'" Think about this. Our Lord had said, "I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I've come to save my elect. I've come to save my sheep. I've come to save my people." Think about how men respond to that statement. "I've come to save my elect." Many of you probably experienced this or seen this. Maybe felt this way yourself at one point in time. "I came to save mine elect." Turn to Luke chapter 4. How does the natural man respond to that statement? Look at Luke chapter 4. Our Lord spoke here. This is our Lord speaking. He said, I tell you the truth. Look at verse 25. I'm sorry, Luke 4, verse 25. I tell you the truth. Many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heavens were shut up, 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent. He was just sent to one. What about all those other people? He was sent to just one. Save unto Sarepta, city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet. And none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the leper. God's right to save whom he will. What's the natural man's response to that? Look at verse 28. All they that were in the synagogue, these religious people, when they heard this, they didn't rejoice, did they? They were filled with wrath. They were angry. So angry, look at verse 29. They rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. They're going to throw him over a hill head first. They won't hear it. They were filled with wrath. Turn back to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Brother Wayne read this earlier. Look at verse 26 and 27. Our Lord said, "You believe not? You believe not, because you're not my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." My sheep, they hear my voice. They follow me. What was the Jews' response to that? Look down at verse 31. They took up stones to stone him. This Canaanite woman, what's her response? This woman with no hope. This poor sinner. What's her response? She came and she worshiped him. This is one of his lost sheep. She came and she worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me. Help me." The self-righteous man, when he hears this, he's offended. Man's offended. Men rest in, by nature, we rest in our works, in our deeds, in our keeping of the law. And despite the fact that those things mean so much to us, and they may look impressive to maybe our neighbors or those around us, in the sight of God, our best works are filthy rags. The sinner cries, "Help me. Help me." Why wouldn't we cry that? The Lord Jesus Christ, we've read this up, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Came to seek and to save that which was lost. Now back to our text. Look at verse 26. Matthew chapter 15. He answers and he says, our Lord Jesus Christ against me, he said, "It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." How long will faith be tested? How long will a trial last? I wonder if this Canaanite woman just thought, you know, is he going to hear me? Will he hear my cry? Will he hear my plea? Don't we feel that way from time to time? Why is this trial? Why is this trial here? Why am I being tested so? Why? Well, how long will we be tested? Until his purpose is accomplished in the man. 1 Peter 1:7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, though it be tried with fire, might be found to the praise and honor and glory of the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, it's not meat. It's not meat to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. You're a dog. You're a dog. You're unworthy. You're a sinner. How do you reply to that? Does that anger you? Would you run away from that? Remember when Naaman the leper, remember when he went to be healed of his leprosy? And he took all those changes of clothes and those gifts, and he went to the prophet Elisha. He finally went to him. He went to the king first, but he finally went to the prophet Elisha. And he came with his horses and his chariot. And he stood at the door of Elisha, and he just stood there waiting for him to come out. And what happened there? Elisha sent a messenger. Elisha sent a messenger out there, and he told him, he said, you go dip 7 times in the River Jordan. How did Naaman react to that? He's furious, wasn't he? I'm a great man. I'm an honorable man. How did he respond? He was furious. He said, I thought he would come out and come out to me, and he would stand there and he would, call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place, and my leprosy would be taken away. It had to be brought down, didn't it? It had to be humbled. This Canaanite woman, she was brought low. He said, shall I take the children's bread and give it to a man? Look at her reply. Look at verse 27. How do you reply to that? Oh, I'm not a dog. She says, truth, Lord. Truth. Truth. She didn't say, I don't understand why bad things happen to good people. She didn't say, you know, if you really knew me, you'd know I'm a good person. Or I fast twice a week, or I give tithes of everything I own. No, she said, truth, Lord. What you're saying about me is true. You know, that response can be attributed to nothing but the grace of God in the heart. God had revealed that. God had revealed that to her. She said, everything. All that you've said, I can't speak one thing against it. It's true. He was sent. What did he say? He said he was sent to the lost sheep of Israel. He said she was a dog, a sinner, unworthy of any favor. He said it's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. All this is true. There was no argument, was there? No argument. But she says, yet, Even the dogs eat from the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Just some crumbs. Just some crumbs will do if they fall from the master's table. Look at verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I looked at that word whole. It means to be cured, or it means to be healed. But it also means much more than that. It means to be free from sin. It means to bring about one's salvation. She was made to be free from sin. The Canaanite woman, she desired her daughter to be healed. So much more, huh? She was made free from sin. I want to close by reading a passage of Scripture from Ephesians 3. One thing before you turn there, consider this. The Lord Jesus Christ, He answered, He said, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And there's a period at the end of that, isn't there? That conversation was, it was over. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very, very hour. But turn to Ephesians 3. Ephesians chapter 3. She had hoped that her daughter would be made whole. She had hoped that she'd be made well from this disease. He saved her. Look at Ephesians 3. Look at verse 20. We'll close with this. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Brother Mike, you come lead us to the closing.